Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And so let me lead off with this. We have two listen lines for you to dial into. If you keep growing this show, then we will force a third listen line. So please continue doing what you're doing by calling in and or streaming the show. You know, it'd be nice to think that the internet goes down because people are interested in getting the federal government back into compliance. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I mean, it's pretty pathetic that something like, you know, some tot or tawdry tot or whatever, you know, puts a photo of themselves out on the internet and supposedly it puts strain or brings the internet down or what have you. That's a pretty bad indictment, if you ask me, regarding our society. But I'm not the judge, nor am I the jury. I just present the facts. And so if you want to see this Leviathan dismantled, we need your help. We need you to help bringing more people to the table, getting more people informed that there's a solution. Wrap a string or tie some yarn around your finger just so you can remember. Make it red for Red State Talk Radio, and then you can start telling people, hey, G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic, Red State Talk Radio, you've got to listen to that show. Next week, as a matter of fact, in our next show next week, which, you know, the first day of the week, right, we are going to get into the myth of nullification. How using nullification or anybody asserting that nullification is the path forward on the solution is selling you a bill of goods. We're going to get into all of the details regarding nullification and precisely what Madison and Jefferson did. We've done this before, but there seems to be a new push in trying to get people to do that. It's the same thing with this moronic idea of, well, we just want to hold people to their oath. No, holding people to their oath isn't sufficient. We have to hold them to their oath on very specific things of compliance to the Constitution. And until you start understanding that compliance means that you don't take money for federal programs or federal things that your state is doing that the federal government has no business doing. I keep on hearing legislators, well, that's free money. We can't turn down free money. No, that is stealing money from the taxpayers that the federal government has no authority to do. Even though it may be nice to do, we have to stop this reckless spending and this reckless governance. And the only way to do that is getting these politicians to sign petitions because the oath is not good enough. We want them to sign a petition that they're willing to resign if they do not stand up and do the things, the actionable items that are in this petition. You can go online and look at petition scripts and you can see some of the petitions and you can see those actionable items. It's not going to keep them from actually, you know, improving your private property security or, you know, restoring some of your liberties and rights. Their hands are not tied on anything other than championing for Republic review and obtaining full compliance of the Constitution from the federal government. So there you go. We'll get into that in our next show. The listen number is 605-562-4209, and the other listen line number is 605-313-0599. Now, today we're going to wrap up the week in marketing, as we like to call it. Hopefully these things can help stimulate you and help convince you that you need to get involved. Had a conversation today with a gentleman that was literally saying, you know what, I can no longer afford not to get involved. This is affecting me in my wallet. It's affecting my quality of life. This is affecting me in every facet of my life. It is no longer just this little, you know, little noise or a gnat flying around. this is becoming very pervasive in their lives. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show on air that will provide you with the only process to get the federal government into full compliance. Again, it is a myth to think that nullification can obtain that. And we're going to get into all those details in the next show, and you're going to love it. And as a matter of fact, by the next show, hopefully we'll have the article published on nullification and interposition so that you know exactly the differences and you'll understand exactly why Jefferson and Madison were pushing to get the states to coalesce in forcing the federal government into compliance because they knew they wouldn't comply any other way. Now, we need your help. I always say that. I say it at the end of the show. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. One way you can help is by buying. If you drink coffee, get your coffee from Red State Coffee. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and just click on the link. It'll take you to eBay. Get you a pound of grinds. Get you a pound of beans. And then call me, 425-270-5416, and just drop a, you know, whether you think it's great coffee or not. Tell us what you think of this coffee. And we would appreciate that. And who knows? If you do it really well, then you actually may be, may be in a commercial. So anyway, that's one way you can help, and that's one way you can support. We also have the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. It is the Reclaiming the Republic campaign on GoFundMe. And we're only looking for your financial support in helping the travel costs. The travel costs really aren't, it's not insurmountable. I see people getting crowdfunding for stupid things, and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Look at how much we've made. Go to GoFundMe and just look at how many contributions we've received. And then you consider whether this is a worthy cause or not. I'll leave that up to you. I will also say that we really do need your support directly. So send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And this way we can help engage you. We can find out what you want to do, what you can do, what your skills are, where you live, and so forth. You may be working in an area. You may be a potential working in an area where we've already got some other people working. And so we would love to start connecting people because that's very empowering when you feel like you're not the only one that is recognizing what needs to be done. What are you doing for Constitution Day? Oh, let me plug the two organizations, constitutionclub.ning.com. Go check that out. Go sign up. Keith Borders sends out, you know, maybe a weekly newsletter or something like that regarding, you know, banking, regarding liberty and so forth. It is a worthwhile organization. Go sign up, get involved in your county and your state. And it's nice that you can drill into that level with that site. The other thing that I would love to see you support is our first right, which is an amendment of the Madison Bill of Rights amendments that did not get ratified as of yet. We need to get that amendment in to actually affix our representation to 50,000, no more, and this would displace the swamp significantly. So go check that out, ourfirstright.org. Constitution Day. What are you doing for Constitution Day? I know Independence Day is just around the corner. There's lots of people going to be reading the Independence or the Declaration of Independence from the courthouse stairs or what have you, and that's great. And I know the Constitution is a little bit longer, so what I would do is I would split it up and actually, you know, let a few different people read the Constitution. And believe it or not, I think that the crowd, I think people can actually be reverent and listen to the Constitution if one actually sits down and just reads through it. There you go. And as a matter of fact, you have a whole week, so you could break it up into 5 days and just, you know, parse it out between people and let everybody take a turn. Let your city government, let your city council take a turn in reading the Constitution. It'd probably be the first time they've ever read the Constitution. You should be demanding that. You should also be looking for local businesses that, you know, give them an opportunity to say, hey, if you didn't know, it's actually Constitution Day on the 17th, and get them to do promotions and handing out free constitutions. All things that you can be doing, and you can be helping solve the problem. If you're doing nothing, you are a part of the problem. And I'm not trying to poke you in the eye. That's the reality. Those people who literally just sit and expect other people to do everything for them, well, there's a name for that. And so anyway, let's just move on. I want to thank you for tuning in, and make sure, please make sure you bring in a couple more people. Even if they're listen, give them the listen line. Again, I will tell you that the listen line is 605-562-4209 and 605-313-0599. So if they can't tune in and they can't stream, then say, well, there's no excuse that you could be listening if you just dialed this number, and give them the numbers. Now, something I haven't said in the past couple of days, there is no sign that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. They're just not going to do it. As a matter of fact, if you listen to the Democratic debate, they want to add more powers. They want to do everything. Pretty soon, it'll be the Department of Babysitting that will actually take care of those you know, babies, you know, for the women that make the huge mistake of not going to full term, you know, by not going to get an abortion, they want to go to full term, then okay, they'll help you take care of that. And then on the back end, when you get old enough, you need somebody to, you know, change your diapers and so forth because you can't do it anymore, then, well, they want to take care of you there too. From cradle to grave, we'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so yesterday, we were literally going off the air when I started telling you about Charles Koch. Now, who's Charles Koch? He is one of the brothers, the Koch brothers. Remember, everybody says, oh, these guys are so rich and they're evil because they support conservative things. I'm here to tell you that they support what is best for them. They may seem to have a conservative slant, but I'm telling you, these guys are just as bad as all the rest of the billionaires that are more concerned in maintaining control than they are anything else. So Charles Koch is teaming up with the Anti-Defamation League, a very left-leaning organization. Tech companies, as we know, are very left-leaning organizations, including Eventbrite, Mozilla, Pinterest, a social media club, Patreon, and Airbnb, universities, as well as George Soros and other billionaires to combat online extremism that challenges elitist monopolies and authority. In other words, if you want to take on the elitists, they are out there combating you. Polly, a YouTube personality, suggested that the technocratic tyranny can be thwarted, even the Koch brothers or Charles and what they're trying to do. And the best way to do that is by refusing a smartphone. Now, most people don't need a smartphone. I have one and I don't use it at all. What I use is the basic telephone features and the calendar, the camera, and that's about it. I do not have any accounts on there. I do not connect with social media. I do not connect my mail. I can wait until I get back to my office so that I can look at my email and so forth. I do not need to live by the thread of those who are paying me day in and day out. And as a matter of fact, there have been arguments that people that have the smartphone that continue to work on their personal time are taking huge health risks as well as not getting compensated. Why is it that you want to be a troll? Why is it you want to be a tool for your company when what they're doing is they're actually putting you in harm's way? Go look at what these smartphones do. They fry you. We've talked about how they're creating horns on your head. We have talked about how they've caused tumors in your head, whether they be cancerous or not. These things are harmful, and they will not tell you just how harmful they are. They're keeping those things secret from you, and the government is colluding. And the reason why? Well, Polly says that smartphones are the key to technological control of the grid when the entire population is dependent on smartphones and needs them to exist within the system. In other words, you can't live without them. How many things do you do on your smartphone? The plan is to consolidate all banking onto your smartphone, just like they do in China. Education is going on to all smart devices, whether that be your iPad, your tablet, your phone, what have you. Healthcare, same thing. Voting, they want it, and if you didn't know, your smartphone is being hacked so many different ways. I read a great article that 18,000 apps are all spying on you and what you are doing. And so what would you think, and how could you think that your voting would be secure on your smartphone? Government payroll and all types of benefits from your HR or what have you will be distributed through smartphones. Global revenue from the telecom services is projected to be $1.35 trillion. And as a matter of fact, I think that is just the tip of the iceberg. It's a lot more than just that. So giving up your smartphone is the step in taking away the globalists' ability to control you, and you're also taking away their ability, your funding for them, because now you're no longer got a data stream. You don't have a data program. You're not paying for data. And the infrastructure, the 5G and everything that they put up, I would just be happy to see it rot and fall. Now, I'm here to tell you that I know that's a huge step for anybody to walk away from a smartphone, but all you're doing is you're just biting onto the hook that they've baited you with, and you will have, you have control of your destiny, and so don't be shocked and don't be surprised when that destiny takes you into full technocratic control, okay? coming to a court near you. I think you're going to find this funny, but there is some there's some real dark evil that's coming down, because you've been hearing the rhetoric from Congress earlier about hate speech, hate speech, hate speech, hate speech. We've got to stop this. Facebook has agreed to provide the names of French users who are suspected of using so-called hate speech on its platform to the courts when requested. I mean, I'm sure that Zuckerberg and all of the rest of the social media platforms are doing anything and everything. They're trying to convince the courts and governments to say, let us turn these problem people over to you. And the problem people are the conservatives, those who actually recognize the threat of what these guys are doing. And so as they turn these things over, that are as Facebook is turning over those who are using supposedly by their classifications and filters hate speech, this will become a mandate. And soon Facebook will be providing identification and information for terrorism or cases of violence or cases of, protest, or even the ideas that you may be putting out there. It all starts with, oh yeah, that seems like a good thing. We thwarted a terrorist here. And they don't even tell you about the good American citizens that they drag into court. There, I have found that there are far more citizens in the court system as well as in jail that should never be there, just because they're being patriotic and they're standing up with a conscientious objection to what government is doing. The European Commission defines illegal hate speech as public conduct that incites violence or hatred to groups or people defined by characteristics such as race, religion, and ethnic origin. And soon they are going to be including sexual orientation as well as other criteria. One critic that has basically come out and said hate speech is no longer considered a part of freedom of speech. It's now the same level as terrorism. The policy could spread to other European countries, and I'm telling you, the policy can spread to America as well. These kids that are coming out of the school system believe that conservatives and those people that want to point to, their indulgences of self-gratification and those types of things, that you're the problem. You need to be stopped. You need to be shut down, and you can't speak your hate anymore. That's the direction we're heading, folks. And we're just 5 years away from reaching that. I engaged a sitting senator in South Dakota state legislator senator on Facebook today, pointing out that he and his compatriots in that Senate and in the legislature in South Dakota have the power to stop all of this tyranny. The problem is that senator probably won't lift a finger to do that. So if you follow me on Facebook, then you can go and read. You can see who I posted to today, and you can see what I said. And the problem is that senator will probably not lift a finger to protect his constituents and his state from federal tyranny. And I say that because he has taken the approach that he just doesn't want to get involved. And I honestly believe that may have more to do with maybe the John Birchers or what have you. But bottom line is, when you allow somebody to taint your well or taint your pool, then you're either drinking or swimming in poison. And so you become worthless, as far as I'm concerned, if you've been poisoned either way that you've allowed people to taint you. And so you have to start purging those poisons. You have to be objective. You have to actually look and evaluate things for yourself instead of letting people do your thinking for you. There are all sorts of organizations, and the John Birch Society is one that is a group think organization. This is how we think. These are bad, and that's bad. That is not giving you the opportunity to use critical thinking. Here's another one. Who cares if social media is going to try to manipulate our election process like they have in the past? They aren't that successful, are they? Well, according to G. Edward Griffin, who's reporting from a statement by Dr. Epstein a senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology, responded to the Project Veritas sting video, which shows Google executive Jen Jinai proclaiming the tech giant she works for, which is Google, is determined to prevent the re-election of Donald Trump. This mere fact of her saying this confirms that Google could influence votes and is willing to do so. Here's the kicker. Epstein estimated that big tech could sway 15 million votes. And I'm here to tell you that that's what Epstein thinks. If you understand that all the votes are being persuaded by the school already, it is in the magnitudes of probably 20 or 30. So because of Google and Facebook, that they're unregulated at this time, they pose a great threat, probably more of a threat than Russia does. However, with that, we will be back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So this next marketing tidbit or news tidbit, whatever you want to look at it, really poses, makes me think of a lot of different questions. So let me kind of give you the G. Edward Griffin side of this, and then let's kind of look at, you know, some of the issues that this causes me to think about. Apparently, Bank of America has announced it will stop lending to migrant detention centers and private prisons to avoid public backlash, following similar moves by J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and the U.S. Bank. Banks are already targets of the presidential candidates and are trying to avoid being in the crossfire of these issues. Okay, well, my mind is already thinking, right? The issues have become more emotional after Democrats took control of the House in 2018 and Maxine Waters became the chair of the Financial Services Committee. You know she's leaning on them. She's looking for payola. She is looking for, what do you want to call that, kickbacks? I mean, do you think she's earned the millions and millions of dollars by her salary that she is sitting on? Heck no. She has been getting kickbacks left and right. The problem is that they're above the law. They get tips all the time on what to buy, what to sell, and so forth. And as they do so, they make millions and, you know, they become the elitist in control. So anyway, Bank of America is trying to avoid criticism after reporting a profit of $28 billion in 2018, according to some analysts. So here's the first question I have to pose. Why are they even loaning money to illegals here in America? Had this something that they did on their own? Or was this something that was pushed by those billionaire elitists who are trying to undermine America by getting money into the hands of illegals and letting these loans possibly even default and getting those loans? Because when you have loans that are kind of insured and or covered, it doesn't matter. And so that may be one way Soros and Open Borders may be able to fund money going in, because they're using a legitimate institution and then they're underwriting those loans. Interesting. The other problem that it causes me to think of the fact that understanding that the Trump administration is doing everything it can, I believe that the Trump administration could easily start and should be targeting them. And I think that by them backing out, they are trying to remove, what do they call that, plausible deniability. They're trying to create a plausible deniability. Oh, well, we're not doing anything bad here anymore. We're good now, okay? I think that the banking system, and I've constantly told people this, if you do banking with a bank, you need to change, because these guys are money launderers. They're criminals. You need to go to a credit union. If you have family members that are in the military, then you should seek going into Navy Federal or some kind of credit union where they're not a bunch of criminals laundering money and taking on the quantitative easing dollars that come in and flushing that through. I mean, these guys are racketeers. I mean, they should be exposed. And as a matter of fact, I know, what's the guy's name? He was at Red State Talk Radio. He's a financial guy. Supposedly does forensics, but I don't think so. I think he's a CPA. But anyway, he has exposed how the banks have got blood all over. They're bathing in blood all the time. And what you need to do if you are doing banking with a regular bank, you need to move it to a credit union. Credit union is not just employee supporting, but it is it's community owned by you, the member. It is a member owned institution. Now, here comes a surprise. I don't know if you knew this, but the New York Times has publicly acknowledged that it sends some of its stories to the U.S. government for approval. But guess who they send it to? The national security officials. Does that make any connections for you? So apparently, before they publish anything, before they publish certain stories, they send these stories to the national security officials. In other words, this is the deep state, because they were sending it to people like Clapper, Brennan, and their stooges. And so what the New York Times basically said is that they've been working with the deep state in making sure that the narrative fits the deep state narrative. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, folks, these guys are all colluding together, and it's the same thing with the mainstream media and so forth. And who knows, the New York Times may be that intermediate that is actually helping the narrative actually go. Because do you think it's a coincidence that on the same day of September 11th with Benghazi, everybody had the talking points in hand from CNN, MSNBC, and so forth? They all use the exact same language. Somebody's doing that. There's no doubt in my mind. It's probably the deep state. Maybe the deep state's running all the information out to everybody, but it's probably easier to just use a few intermediates like New York Times and so forth, and then they disseminate and promulgate the narrative that the mainstream media needs to hold. And so you can't tell me that we're being manipulated. This is just as bad, if not worse, when our government is manipulating us. They're complaining that Russia is trying to do it. Well, hold it. We have the monopoly in manipulation here. We're the deep state. We own everybody. You can't, Russia, you have no business coming in and manipulating them. That's our job. That's how ludicrous this really is, my friends. And that's the position, and that's the problem that we absolutely have to deal with. So what is the problem? What is the solution of dealing with the deep state and this constant narrative that's being rammed down our throats? There's only one solution, and that's to stand up and get the federal government out of doing things like that they have no business doing. We're supposed to be living free and outside of their influence. They're supposed to only do and exercise very specific powers that are delegated to them. What is it going to take to get you involved into becoming a part of the solution in forcing the federal government into compliance? I'm not talking about using guns of force. The Constitution is all we need, and we have enough teeth in the Constitution to force the federal government into compliance. See, there's no real threat of harm from me and from Republic Review. The real threat that Republic Review has, it has the force of the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. And so when we start unseating senators and representatives out of Congress, out of the U.S. Congress, for violating the Constitution, for committing treason, and if not, at a minimum, moral perjury, people are going to really consider me and everybody carrying this message as probably a hate group, because we're actually ruining their careers. We're keeping them from making more millions of dollars off of our backs. And as I told you at the very lead, Charles Cook is going after people and organizations that are targeting them and their control and their collusion with government. So what is it going to take? Why don't you become a part of the solution instead of maintaining and being stubborn in continuing to keep the problem around our necks and around our feet? Anyway, another story that is coming up, G. Edward Griffin reported that the Senate's bill provides zero curbing. There's, in this new Senate bill that just came out with this, I think it was like $4.6 billion for emergency help for the immigrants. It provides zero spending to curb migration. The bill allocates more than $1 billion for orderly inflow to support them to get into America. Are you kidding me? This is a Republican Senate that's allowed this to happen? Who are our enemies? Congress. Remember that that organization I told you about, Our First Right? Go get them going in your state and your state legislatures. Get your state legislatures to displace Congress. Here is the way you sell this to them. Hey, state legislator. Hey, representative so-and-so. How would you like to become a congressman? I've got a guaranteed way of you becoming a congressperson. Well, how's that happening? Go look at this amendment. This amendment will expand the Congress to from 400 and something to 6,600 and some odd. In other words, there's a high likelihood that people that are working and sitting in the state legislatures today could just instantly be promoted and making bank. Go look at how much a congressman makes. Just because this amendment goes through will not change the salary. You have a great opportunity yourself in becoming a congressperson, because the congressional districts are going to go from, you know, what, the 700, almost 800,000 down to 50. And you have a great chance of leading and becoming, they have a great chance, as well as you and I have a great chance of actually stepping in and unplacing some of these unseemly characters that we have, like my congresswoman, Republican, Kathy McMorris Rogers. So anyway, I'd love to see her gone. We're working on that. That's our job. That's our responsibility, right? So we will go into a hard break, and we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so here we go. Let me get back into the details, because I want you to understand what the heck's going to happen. If this actually gets signed, and I believe Trump is going to veto this, if this bill gets signed, when I said it's going to allocate $1 billion for the orderly inflow of many economic migrants into American schools and workplaces, that's a $1 billion patch to upload a bunch of illegals into your education system and workplaces. And guess what? That patch goes away. So who's going to pay for it the following year while they're still in your school? The workplaces is a little bit different, but in your school, that is a consumption, that is a revenue problem, and all of a sudden, guess what? Your local educators, your local politicians are going to say, we're going to have to raise property tax because we've got this huge extra burden that, and they won't tell you, and they won't point the finger at what the problem is. They're just going to tell you that they are running in a deficit and they need more money. That's why they use that $1 million pop-up, and then they run the politics the day, a year in advance, because based on our current spending, we're not going to be able to cover next year. And I'm telling you, they're lying to you. If you understand the CAFR, which I hope to have somebody on to talk about that, that's comprehensive financial reform or something like that. Financial report. It's a financial report by your local city council, county, and state. And so they actually have a surplus, and instead of using the surplus funds that they have, they tax you more money. Corruption is at all levels of the system, especially in blue states. It is completely out of hand. The Senate bill also assigns more than, get this, $3 billion to maintain the pipeline of unaccompanied alien children from Central America to their sponsors here in the U.S. That's $3 billion to help keep these kids coming in. And where are they going to go? They're going to go into your school system. So that $1 billion is nothing compared to the burden that is going to be placed on you in the following years to come to pay for illegals to be educated in Spanish. Because it's all about multiculturalism here, folks. Don't be racist and expect these people to learn. Expect illegals, not just these people, illegal people to basically not assimilate and become a strain on our economic system and actually cause division. In addition, it provides $30 million to help the Democrat-affiliated nonprofits that help migrants move to their target locations. So we're handing out $30 million to Democrat-affiliated NGOs and $10 million more to immigrant lawyers to help migrants win asylum, and $9 million to help illegal migrants use their UAC children delivered faster. And so that UAC, those are the unaccompanied alien children from Central America. So that $9 million is to help get those children delivered faster. It also loads more requirements onto, as I've been telling you, the detention centers, driving up the costs and unlikely providing Democrats with future excuses to denounce the shelters and to just move these kids straight into your neighborhoods because they're entitled. Isn't that this is such an indictment on the direction and the paradigm that we have to deal with. Another problem that is just an outlier, but this is the consequences of business. So FedEx started making good money in piping bad products from China into America and sending our products to them. Well, FedEx announced on June 24th that it has filed a suit in the U.S. District Court in, of course, the District of Columbia, to prevent the U.S. Department of Commerce, an unconstitutional organization, by the way, from enforcing, because this should be the Department of Treasury, because that's who managed all imports, and the State Department managed these policies of what, on the commerce side, it was the Treasury, and on the actual policies itself, what can go out and what can't go out, that was being managed by the State Department. But anyway, the Department of Commerce from enforcing prohibitions. So in other words, they're trying to prevent the Department of Commerce from enforcing prohibitions contained in these new Export Administration regulations against FedEx. In other words, FedEx wants to be able to just continue and not have to deal with these new requirements. This follows a number of incidents where the courier, FedEx, has failed to deliver packages to HUI, which is that nefarious communications organization in communist China, citing confusion over compliance with the United States blacklisting the Chinese manufacturer. So in other words, FedEx hasn't been complying and they want to sue to say, hey, this is too confusing. We shouldn't have to comply. Now, the question is, has Trump actually cleaned out the deep state that is in the Commerce Department? Because you got to remember, Ron Brown was in there and he was there's a great article that proves that he was assassinated in that plane crash that over in, what was it, Bosnia-Herzegovina. And so, I mean, the deep state has been in the Commerce Department for a very long time. Clinton actually pumped it up. So did Bush, so forth. Anyway, some things that are not hitting the news radar. So let me change gears here because we're hearing all of these things and the focus is on the presidential election. So there's certain things that aren't just hitting the news radar anymore. And I'm telling you that shooting that wounded 10 outside an Allentown, Pennsylvania nightclub, which was a gang attack. Well, that's not hitting the national news. And so the question is, well, why? Why is it that they're actually suppressing that information and focusing on all of these other things? Because they recognize that this immigration is a huge issue and it's about entitlements and about benefits and so forth. They know that in the next 3 to 5 years, they will have enough weaponized kids in the voter system to go after your guns, to basically take away your Second Amendment rights and your 14th Amendment rights. I'm just telling you, if you notice there's certain things, you're going to see probably in newsprint and in other maybe online newspapers where people are getting killed and so forth, but they're focused on the disappearance of one woman. And that is eating up a lot of the news cycle and time. And they're not reporting on some of these other things, which used to be these huge progressive labels of, you know, gun violence is bad and so forth. So they've obviously been shifting their agenda. They've obviously shifted their narrative for this point in time because there is a lot at expense, or there's a lot at stake. There you go. There's a lot at stake going on in this presidential election, and they're all in to unseat Trump and to have a full blue wave so that they obtain control, because they know if they can get the White House, they have a good chance of also getting the Senate and so forth. And so I'm here to tell you there is a lot at cost. Nothing that happens in D.C. will save us, even if Trump gets reelected. We have to fight for that. That's damage control. But if we don't get Republic review and we don't get initiated by 2022, where there is movement happening in both Wyoming and other states, if we're not in a position of doing that one thing, Republic review, it's over. I will probably stop airing this show. I will probably, you know, by that point in time, have enough sandbags and my shovel, and I will start filling sandbags and put a, you know, a parapet around my house, so just to protect my family and myself. And so I would highly recommend that, because we have to be multitasking. We just can't necessarily believe that we're going to win. But we have to be multitasking, and so you need to be, you know, looking at what you have to do to protect yourself and your family. And I'm telling you, if you're living in California, if you're living in a dark blue state, you better get the heck out of there quick, because when the tide actually turns and communism takes over, those huge urban developments in California, New York, New Jersey, and so forth, that is where they're going to quickly and easily take control, because, I mean, those suburbs, you don't stand a chance compared to the technology and the type of force that they can rain down upon you. Now, out in the boonies and out in the real rural areas, that's why you want to move to those red states or the redoubt area. If you don't know, REDOUBT, look it up, redoubt area. That's where you want to live. Anyway, if you haven't heard, Sparky is trying to put forth an effort in reducing mass incarceration. Sparky, the Spartan, wants to reform the clemency powers of the White House and shorten federal prison sentences as many as 20,000 nonviolent drug offenders. Now, maybe that seems nice, but that doesn't necessarily give you the whole picture. And bottom line is, we can no longer continue to water down the effects of committing crimes. Now, the federal government shouldn't have a dog in this fight anyway. This is unconstitutional. But I'm telling you that the penal system is in jeopardy. And I put this out in my very first book, that we need to outsource our penal system. There's no reason why we can't pump these guys out into the very rural areas or to a foreign country and give them VTC connections for their courts, appeals, and all of that stuff. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we'll be back. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.